Turn tonight to Isaiah chapter 23. Isaiah chapter 23. The bird of Tyre, hauling ship of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in. From the land of Chittim, it is revealed to them. Be still, you inhabitants of Isle, thou among the merchants of Zidon, that pass over the sea, have replenished. And by great waters, the seed of Zihor, the harvest of the river is a revenue, and she is a mark of nations. Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish upgrown men, nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, which shall be sorely pained to the report of Tyre, pass you to Tarshish, how you inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose iniquity is of ancient days? Bold feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honourable of the earth? The Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory, and to bring into contempt all the honourable of the earth. Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish, there is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea, he shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he says, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thy oppressed virgin, daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim, there also shalt thou have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this people was not, till the Assyrian founded it for them, that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof, they raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought to ruin. How ye ships of Tarshish, your strength is laid waste. And shall come to pass in that day, the Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After this end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. Take a harp, go about the city, thy harlot, that has been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing thy songs, that thou may be remembered. And shall come to pass, after this end of 70 years, that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she will turn to her heart, and she will commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up. For her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Just want to remind everybody to make sure to get one of those lights, grey, green, blue, whatever colour it is. Prayer lists. The additions to the prayer list are simply about prayer for will for work, and a thank you for a man by the name of Alan Rice, who had cancer but it's been cleared and he is now back to work. Have you anything that you'd like to add to that, John? No? Right, please do make sure and grab yourself one of those little prayer lists. Make sure you call out the names of the people that are mentioned on it. Okie doke. We've got a request for number 20. If you would like to take and turn to number 20 in the wee black books, he will sing "She Only Touched the Hem of His Garment."
Amid the crowd that gathered around him and strayed.
in number 138 in the big books. This is one called the Haven of Rest. It should be fairly familiar to us. 138, the Haven of Rest. And if you're fit, stand with me as we
thank you.
Thank you kindly, folks. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts with me this evening, we're in the book of Acts. Excuse me. Acts chapter 8. I was reading this portion of God's Word, and I started thinking about all of the different people that are mentioned in it and how they reacted to the preaching of the cross. I have like a grand title of different strokes for different folks, but tonight I would like for the title for the message to be Simon. Simon the Sorcerer. So we're in Acts chapter 8. We're going to read the first 24 verses of this portion of God's Word. Amen. Give me 2 seconds and I'll be right with you. Amen. Acts chapter 8, Simon the Sorcerer. And Saul was consenting unto his, that's Stephen's, death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all give heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostle hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Amen. That is our reading. And I want to pay most attention to the latter three quarters of that, where, excuse me, we see the results of the gospel upon an occultist and quite a popular one called Simon. Simon the Sorcerer. Let's pray and then we'll continue. Well, if you would you do this in a wee word of prayer?
Dear Lord Father, thank you for your sister's prayer to your husband, Lord, for us and all the Lord. and touches the heart and draws near to you and your son, Lord, and through the Holy Spirit, Lord. See souls right in the path of the Lord, for this man, Lord. Use the tracks to work through the doors yesterday and through the weeks before, Lord. See souls many saved in that power, shown to all men that are the true God, Lord, and a loving God that sent his son to die on the cross for whoever asks his salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With Ashley Brown, Lord, wherever they may be, keep safe and well, Lord, and bring them to one time. With Marcus, come to the building of the gospel, Lord, give all true grace and, Lord, direct them in the word, Lord. And may see a blessing, Lord, in our lives and in our hearts, Lord. And may this week be, start this week with Christ at the Lord, and we hope in Christ throughout this week. Lord, I want to follow the word of Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Amen. I am sure you have heard of this portion of God's word before. This was after the crucifixion of Jesus, and after the apostles receiving the Holy Spirit, by which they were able to speak in the different languages of all the people, all the Jews of all the lands around and about in their own language, and they were able to lay hands on people and carry out all sorts of miracles. And we see here one of the apostles, or one of the disciples, called Philip. And he was in a city of Samaria. Now, Samaria was not a very popular place amongst the Jews. It was sort of half-breeds, and they weren't living very close to the Bible. But you know what? Sometimes people that have no hope, instead of a half a hope, are far more receptive to the gospel, obviously, than people that have a bit of hope instead of the blessed hope. And so he goes preaching. And as he goes, you can see that there are a lot of unclean spirits, and of course there are many possessed with devils. And they literally run. They cry out with a loud voice, "No! No! Philip, don't! Let us be!" Or, "This man's a preacher of the Most High God," all of these things. And not just that, but miracles were done. People were getting up out of sick beds, and people's limbs were growing back, and the blind were made to see. And for all of that, not just the miracles and not just the sideshow, but people released of devils and the gospel being preached. Verse number 5 is the preaching. Verse number 6 is the people, almost with one accord. In other words, they knew there was something missing. This man, Philip, or Simon the sorcerer, had been spinning them a yarn, and there was part of them believed in him, but Philip came preaching the whole gospel, and they believed. And because of that, there was great joy in the city. A joy that you will find that the world can't give, a joy that knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you have a home waiting for you in heaven, and whenever this life is over, when your body quits, or when the Lord calls us up to heaven, you have a new and a glorified body waiting for you. There's joy to be had in knowing that you're saved, and walking with the Lord after that. Even the worst of apostates. And we have a mention of Saul, and we know that just a page or two later, in the word of God, even this man that was having people put into jail and then killed, even this man was able to come to Jesus Christ. But here we have another man who used witchcraft and paganism and sorcery to beguile the people and maybe even do a miracle or two to make people think that he was powerful, that he was like one of the prophets of old that had a direct line to God, and that miracles would happen. He had everybody fooled. And even he found that the things that he did and the advice that he gave and the things that he spoke of might have promised fulfillment, and they might have promised a long life, and they may have promised a home in heaven. But the gospel delivers those things. The word can't deliver, the word promises, but can't deliver. The gospel promises and delivers. And he gets saved. And I want to tell you, it's great to hear when people whose lives were taken over by the occult or violence or immorality or drugs or alcohol or anything like that, it's great to hear about people like that getting saved. However, sometimes, and we see in this instance, when people get saved, they think it's only, you know, like you do in business, you get up the corporate ladder, and then whenever you're at a certain height, you find you're not getting any further. You get a job offer in another company, which is another step up, so you take a step aside, and a step up, and on you go, up the corporate ladder again, until maybe you get another offer back again, way, way up the corporate ladder. I think Simon thought that. It doesn't mean it can't happen, but Simon, he saw all of these things that were happening. He saw them for real, that they were real, that people were really affected, and positively so. Does anyone remember in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt, and after 400 years, the Lord said to Moses, you'll be like God to all the people, I'll work through you, Aaron will be your high priest. Says, I'm going to use you to break the Egyptians' backs. And Moses starts doing all of these miracles, and he turns the water into blood, and he calls frogs up out of the water, and he lice and flies, and all of these things. But there were a couple of magicians in Egypt's court. Well, they were able to do the same thing up to a certain point. I can't remember exactly where it was that they stopped, but eventually even they said, this is the finger of God. We can't go any farther. We can counterfeit, and we can sort of fudge the results and make it look like we're powerful. But this man Moses, he's really working for God. We can't even get near what he's doing. This is what Simon was doing, and eventually he had to admit defeat. Whenever he saw not just the miracles done, but the difference it makes in people. So, we need to know as well, and there are a number of Christian cults, if you want to call them, that believe that unless you're baptized, that you're not going to heaven. You can only receive the Holy Spirit whenever you get baptized. That's what was happening here, because in verse 16 it says, for as yet the Holy Spirit was fallen upon none of them, except they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So that, it wasn't an automatic thing just yet. It soon became, shortly after this, but just beware. So they were laying hands on people. People were being saved, lives were being changed, their demeanor, their spirit was being changed, because that happens to you when you really get saved. And Simon thinks, in his own head, I can have a bit of this. I want to be able to do this. Now the fact that he offered the money makes me think that he was doing it to make himself look good again. If he had been just saying, well look, I want to be able to do that as well. Show me how I can help people. That might have been a different story. But Peter, and this must have been a whole change. This is a change even for Peter, because Peter was always shooting from the hip. Peter said, thy money perish with thee. I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. You're jealous. You're annoyed, you're bitter that you're not the big cheese here anymore. You're just Joe Public. You're just a newly saved man, you're a child in Christ. And you haven't even been studying the Word of God, you've been pretending to be a Christian. You know nothing, you can't do anything. You are in need of ministering to before you can minister to others. As we come to the very end of this verse number 24, Simon's not mentioned again. And so we can sort of assume that life just went on as normal for Simon. Maybe he realized this because he says this to Peter. please pray to the Lord that these things don't happen for me or happen to him, that I don't go down this road. I was thinking of a few things as we were reading this, and the lessons we can learn from other people. I want to tell you something, friends. It's far easier to learn lessons from other people's mistakes than it is to learn them from your own mistakes. It don't cost as much for a start, and you always have that object lesson. First of all, anybody can be saved. A pagan, an occultist. How many people in the Bible? We have prostitutes saved and Rahab the harlot and Mary Magdalene. We have people that were forbidden to have anything to do with the Jews and Ruth the Moabite. Yes. We have Matthew the tax collector. We had Peter, Simon Peter, Andrew, James and John, rough cut fishermen. We had Jairus and Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, big cheeses in society and in the synagogue. We even had a Roman centurion who, remember, the Jews, the local Jews, went up to Jesus and said, look, this Roman centurion's servant is sick. And Jesus might have been saying, right? But Jesus knew. And they said, he's done great things. He's built us a synagogue. And he's a good lad and he believes like us. And that was the one that the Lord said, commanded the sickness to leave him before he even got near him. And that's exactly what happened. Even Roman centurions didn't get saved. And sorcerers. You have, I believe that Nebuchadnezzar got saved. Anybody can get saved. So, never ever think that someone is too far gone that can't get, that the Lord can't save them. But never ever think that someone's so good that they don't need to be saved. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I am thankful that the Lord laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, because we couldn't bear it. Worldly experience or knowledge will not necessarily help you in your Christian life. Sometimes it may do if you have a skill or a trade. I don't know if you remember that Paul the Apostle used to be a tent maker, or he was either a tent maker or a sail maker. And one of the families that he stayed with in his time, he actually helped them, because that was his trade. But being an occultist, the continuing practice of that is not going to help you in your Christian life. A knowledge of all the best places to visit a whore, or get a hit of drugs, or to pick up poaching, is not going to help you in your Christian life. These things that have taken a lifetime to learn and sometimes take a long time to forget. And a Christian lifetime takes a lifetime to acquire, if that makes sense to you. And it's an ongoing job, but it is a fulfilling and a rewarding job. The next one is that worldly riches are not necessarily a great advantage. We see here as we read that Simon the sorcerer obviously was able to get his way by paying people off for things in times gone by, and just assume that if he gave the apostles money, that they would give him the secret to laying hands on people and receiving the Holy Spirit. That's not the way things work. Any great gift that you are looking for in the Christian life comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variable, that's neither shadow of changing. And the great thing about it is, if you're ready for it and you ask him for it, he'll give it to you. Did Jesus not say in a number of the Gospels, when he was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, you dads, you wouldn't give a stone to your kids if they asked a piece of bread, or a scorpion if they asked for a fish, or what else was it? A serpent if they asked for a fish, or a scorpion if they're looking for an egg. I can almost see them saying, of course we wouldn't. And he says, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more do you think your Father in heaven wants to give good gifts to his children, to you and me? It can't be bought. It can be accepted. Another one that doesn't necessarily transfer over well, or is worldly influence. It does not translate over well to the Christian life. Although, and I'm going to mention it again, there are things that you can learn and speak about and from a position of authority, but using your old worldly influence to promote the gospel doesn't often work very well. Oh, I know the mayor, and I know the secretary of the town hall, and I know the guy that's in the Vintners Association, and I know this person and that person. Well, the only good that you're going to be to them is the person that carries them the gospel. You can't use that influence to promote the gospel unless you literally give the gospel to them, and I guarantee you, people that are that invested in power, in alcohol, in immorality, and in all of those things, unless the Holy Spirit has been working hard in their hearts and minds, they are not going to let it go and welcome in the Holy Spirit into their hearts. Being powerful in the world doesn't necessarily make you a powerful Christian. You might be able to lift a small car without the engine, but that doesn't mean you can lift your Bible and start committing chunks of it to your heart. Being powerful in the scriptures requires time on your knees, and time in the Word of God, and many of those verses repeated often enough so that they actually stick somewhere in your head. Even being a Christian for a long time does not necessarily make you a good Christian. You can be a good Christian when you walk with God, whenever you show yourself to be teachable, humble enough to learn from God, and faithful. Being there whenever you need to be there. When the doors are open, when you turn up in prayer in the house of the Lord or in your own bedroom, being faithful, being humble, and being teachable will make you a great Christian. I heard a preacher say one time that it is hard to fall flat on your face when you're on your hands and knees in the presence of God. Always remember that. There are a lot of characters in the Bible, and I am thankful that there are, because there are many lessons to be learned, and you can see how these different ones work together in each one of these people. Next week, Lord willing, we'll have a look at the Ethiopian eunuch and how another lost man accepted the word of God without any of the fuss and bother that Simon the sorcerer brought. But sometimes there's a lot of stuff you have to let go whenever you come to Jesus. You just have to let it go. And you have to be able to say, do you know what, Lord? I was wrong, and you were right. I'm going to denounce my love for alcohol, for drugs, for immorality, for violence, for blasphemy, for whatever it is, my involvement in the occult. I'm going to renounce them. And I am going to call you my Lord. Because that is the most important thing. A lot of people don't like it. Because we live in a day and age where everybody is encouraged to find their own truth. That's an air quotes for anybody that's listening. And if you want to rag me, that is one truth. That is my truth. Ooh, I hate that. I hate that. It's like little people being gods in the world that exists between their two ears, and it doesn't extend anywhere further than that. And it's no wonder some people have so many problems getting on in the world, because it doesn't conform to what they think it should. If you want to be God in the world, create an apple for me. Simple. Or a whole plate of sandwiches. Tuna fish sandwiches. Just create them for me in front of me. I'll call you God and I'll worship you. Nobody's done that yet, except Jesus Christ. People don't like the very thing that gives Christians their power, which is faithfulness, humility, and teachableness. Being able to get down on hands and knees and say you're wrong, but more than that, say, God, you're right. You know, I have mentioned this a few times, but this would sound like a broken record. I had an opportunity to do a TV interview with, what do you call him, Steve Nolan, and the mother of some wee fellow who was a homosexual. And I was asked, what do you believe about homosexuality? I said, well, the Bible says in the Old Testament and in the New that it's wrong. You shouldn't do it. It's bad for the mind, it's bad for the body, bad for the soul. You shouldn't do it. He said, but what do you think? I said, I think that it's bad for the mind. The Bible says it's bad for the mind, body, and soul. You shouldn't do it. And he says, that's what the Bible says. But what do you say? He said, I'm allowed to believe what the Bible says, and I'm allowed to make it my opinion. And that's what we need to do. We need to come to the point when we read something in the Bible. Simon was getting there. He had a few rough edges to rub off. We need to get to the point where we can say, you know what, God? I'm finding it very difficult to forgive people. I'm finding it very difficult to let the vengeance go. I'm finding it very difficult not to twist thick heads off stupid shoulders and kick them down the road. But you say, Lord, you say, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So I'm going to work hard on that, and I'm going to say that every time, and I'm going to remind you, Lord, that that's what you said, and I'm trusting you to make it right or to sort it out. It's hard to do that. It's hard to forgive someone when they do you wrong. But we're best to do that because otherwise we get bitter. And we get dragged down with anger and all those things. And we don't need those things in our lives. The Lord said that the fruit of the Spirit for the seed of the soul is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, and temperance. I know there's a lot going on. And it's very frustrating sometimes to see evil people getting away with stuff. Who read Psalm 37 not that long ago? Is that you, Norman? There's a great wee verse in there that says, fret not thyself because of the evildoers who seem to prosper because of the things they bring to pass, or something like that. Let them go. Let them go. And don't be afraid to learn. Don't be afraid to admit that you're wrong. You don't have to admit it to me or anybody else. Just admit it to God and ask for his help in making it right. He will literally give you as much wisdom and teaching as you want. He has many good gifts to give you and many, many valuable lessons to teach us, all of which will help us along the road of our lives. And there are many humps and bumps, even in a quiet life, as we get from one end of it to the other. But I pray you, be faithful, be humble, and be teachable. It doesn't mean people walk over you. You're allowed to say no. But whenever it comes to you and God, be faithful, humble, and teachable. And God will see you right. There's nobody's debtor. You're never going to get to heaven and say, well, God, I gave you an awful lot and I didn't see much by way of repayment. That'll never happen. There'll be helps. There'll be things that you and I have avoided that we never even knew were coming our way. And whenever we look down on it in eternity, we will see God's hand steering us right and steering bad things out of our way. In the words of a wee Christian gentleman, he was always helping people and always giving to people and doing for people. And yet he was quite wealthy. No matter how much he gave away, he always seemed to have more. And somebody asked him about it once. He says, how is it that you're able to give so much to people and yet you still have so much, you get so much, even more? And the gentleman said, when God calls, I start shoveling out. But as I'm shoveling out, God is shoveling in. And he uses a lot bigger of a shovel than I do. God is good. And he wants us to look at these, not make fun of them. He wants us to look at these and learn and grow. And learn the lessons that we need, that he needs for us to have, to be effective, and to be, to live peaceable lives. Even if it's just up here. God loves each and every one of us. Even the lost folks that are sitting under a bridge drinking a bottle of meth, God loves them. Even to the wee boys and wee girls selling their bodies in the pubs and clubs, God loves them too. He loves the obedient and he loves the disobedient. If anything has a soul in this world, God loves them. And he wants them in heaven. But there's only one way there, and that is through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's the only way to heaven and the only way through this life that will get you to the end of it looking back and knowing that you had a good life. Learning the lesson of Simon the sorcerer. Being faithful, humble, and teachable. Thank you for your good time, folks. I appreciate it, and that and your patience. God bless you. Lord willing, next week, or as the week goes on, we'll read about the Ethiopian eunuch. Amen. Closing hymn, folks, if anybody has a suggestion. Norman, you didn't get a pick this morning. Do you have one for the closing hymn? This is bad for you. I'm trying to see what page you're looking at, Norman.
26.
Because he lives. That's a good one. Let's stand as we sing. Number 26 in the wee black books. Because he lives. Thank you for the Bible readings today and the prayer requests and fellowship. Look forward to it during the week or at the next appointed time. Pray to all have a good week till then. In the meantime, let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this day. And I pray, Lord, that you would use it to teach us and help us, strengthen us and comfort us, guide us and direct us, and provision us, Lord, as we head out into a week with a world that, Lord, has just shown time and time again that they're due every single one of those 21 judgments that you have lined up for them. Please, Lord, protect Israel. Please, Lord, hinder any that set their hand against them. And in the most spectacular of ways, Lord, please bless and keep. And us too, Lord, as we head. Please see us safely there and back to the next appointed time. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Gentlemen and lady, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. Amen.
Well, there you go. Must just.